Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Rob Ray joins Chauffeur Bulldog game days at 4. Howard and Jeremy welcome Marty Biron Thursday mornings at 7:30 on WGR Sports Radio 550.
And there they all are right there. What's in there? Sal Capaccio's in there. Jeremy White, Chauffeur the Bulldog. There's Alan Davis, John and Brian Cozio, Pat Malacaro. Whole crew is in there.
Really?
And you know what? Paul is the only one upstairs working. The rest of the guys are on vacation.
What's in there? Welcome back. Paul, did you make it to Rochester?
I did. I'm looking across at the boxes. I'm looking for you guys. I thought your vacation was extended and everybody would be over here and I could wave to all of you over across the way in one of the boxes.
As it happens, you're the only guy working yet again.
So the this ain't working.
No. The Mets just won, if you guys are interested in that. Paul, so this I find interesting. This is the first game of a doubleheader. It started at 3 o'clock. It's 6:06. It just ended. I'm telling you, until a few years ago even, like not just as a kid, the magic of the doubleheader. Like how great is it? Then teams started to split up doubleheaders, the day-night doubleheader. Just the worst. Greed. Greedy. Awful. How could you charge fans twice? And now more teams, I think, at least you see it sometimes, back to what they call the traditional doubleheader. Paul, this is ridiculous. Two games in one day. Like, they took 3 hours the whole time of watching this game. Like, I'm just fascinated by how differently I feel about this. I'm going, this is going to be such a long day. And but so...
You know what? You're right. As a kid, though, I loved it. You know, I saw, oh, doubleheader, this is cool, you know, type of thing. So, yeah, as a kid, because you had more doubleheaders back then. But you're right. Now, as an adult...
Two games in one day is excessive. Yeah. It's at least one too many.
It's hard to even get through it. I had the Red Sox, and we talked much earlier today. What did you do last night? No hockey, no basketball playoffs. Red Sox Astros was on MLB Network, so I put that on at 7 o'clock or, you know, whatever time right then. And I don't know, an hour into it, just like, I don't even know what am I doing. I don't think I looked at it for more than 10 seconds at a time. Just like... jerking around on my iPad and just what this I'm lost on baseball.
Very negative.
I'm lost. And the telecast, it was Costas and Jim Cott, right? And I'm telling you, the amount of time they spent complaining about the shift.
Oh my God.
It felt like a game from 20 years ago.
Well, that's
I was
why
say,
they're
if
there.
If Jim Cott was on, it was something from the 70s.
Yes.
Yeah.
They wanted it to sound. It's I'm not sure if you're in the demo or not, but they, you know, if if you are, you're on the young side of the demo.
I'm close, probably. Thank you.
All right. Paul, set the scene or the mood for us here. The Amerks have a chance to advance.
Yeah, at least 8,000 are scheduled to be here. This seats a little over 10,000, so that's going to be a good crowd. They were really into it here for Game 3. So the Amerks have two opportunities now to try to take the series. It's best of five. So if they don't get it done today, they'll have another opportunity in Utica on Thursday. But, you know, with the guys that have come down, even though Samuelson can't play and Lukanen's hurt, you know, but with Krebs and Fitzgerald, they've made a huge difference on this team. And they've really been playing well, and here they are, the fifth-place team up on the first-place team, 2-1 in a best-of-5 series.
Paul, do you have any sense at all? I know it's hockey and it's the playoffs, so probably pretty tight-lipped and secure. Like, what's the story on Samuelson? The way it sounded to me, and like, I'm not there, and I'm also not, you know, it's just I'm not getting as much information as I would if the Sabres were playing, for example. But it sounded to me like Samuelson was going to miss, like, the first game of the playoffs, but then he might be ready. And here we are, we're into a second series, and he's still not ready to go. Are they still hopeful that he could help them if they were to win tonight in advance?
He only did one practice that didn't go well. I can tell you what my eyes saw, and he's still limping.
Yeah.
He was up here last game, and he's still limping. So that, to me, wasn't a good sign. And the fact that the one-time practice he did didn't go well wasn't a good sign either. And, of course, they're not telling us when it happened because he finished the season with the Sabres. And as far as we knew, there wasn't any problem. So the question is, was he gutting it out, or did he get hurt in the last game?
Well, that's too bad because I think, you know, as they keep going here, I mean, that's a player that began to really matter for the Sabres, so need it be said. I think he could really help Rochester if he could get help.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's really – Fitzgerald has helped him a lot, and if they could roll out Samuelson and Fitzgerald, this would be a contending team. They made an AHL trade for Mark Ault, who's a 30-year-old veteran who really, with the injuries, has been really, really good for them. You know, to bring him in here, he was playing for the San Jose Barracuda. So they've got veterans. Basically, Fitzgerald is the only prospect playing on D. Oskari Laaksonen, from what I've been told, just is awful defensively. You know, he can handle it offensively, but defensively is just not good at all. So you wonder maybe if, you know, since this is the playoffs and Kevin Adams talked about the growth of the youngsters, and that's one of their youngsters, who has not dressed for a game yet, so and played 70 regular season games, and veterans are dressing in his place. You have to wonder what his future is as far as the organization goes.
Seems to me like the AHL teams, like certainly the Rochester teams I can think of, and you and I have talked about here and there recently, that went on runs. Those veteran guys are like a part of the, certainly obviously part of the team, but also sort of a kind of a fun and interesting or magical even part of the makeup, you know, those guys that are not NHL prospects at all, but sort of like the, I'm searching for the word, like the core or something of the team. You know, this team, like any would be, right, Paul, is a combination of those guys whose names most of us wouldn't know, probably, and guys even who played for the Sabres right to the end of the year.
Right, well, Jack Quinn's struggling, so what did they do last game? They stuck him out there with the captain, Michael Mersch, and with Sean Malone. And just, you know, we have that veteran presence with him maybe to try to calm him down a little bit. The line did score. Quinn wasn't in on the scoring, but Malone did score. Unfortunately for Rochester, because of a stupid play by Robbie Russo with 14.8 seconds left in regulation, he took a really bad headshot at the captain, Mersch, knocked his helmet off, knocked him out of the game, and knocked him out of this game. Russo has been suspended. He is not going to play in this game. And the penalty he received was the penalty the Amherst scored on in overtime with Ristolainen. But still, now Rochester has to play without their captain. That's, you know, that's a pretty big loss for them. He has been somebody that they've really counted on this year as a veteran player.
Boy, Mike, I love how you said that about like the story. I've never covered the AHL. Both of you guys obviously have. Boy, a guy like the player you're describing here, Paul, the defenseman, like a 30-year-old guy who's played pro hockey for 7 or 8 years or maybe longer, depending if he came right out of Canadian juniors, you know, borderline NHLer, mostly, you know, career minor leaguer. You get a chance to be a part of a playoff run, you got to start feeling like this might be the end. Like, you got to really embrace it.
You do, and a guy that Buffalo people will know a little bit about because he scored in his first NHL game with Ethan Prowl, and he's been pretty solid down here. You know, a guy that you can throw in on the NHL level to fill in for you if you need it, and they did. And as I said, he scored in his first NHL game. But another guy down here that is a very good AHL defenseman like Ault, and is something that can, somebody that kind of get things steadied down if they get into a bind during a game.
All right, so game four here tonight in Rochester, you're there. And then if they lose, game five in Utica on Thursday. If they win, what?
If they win, then it's a series against Syracuse or Laval. They are the second and third place teams in the division. They're fighting it out in a best of five. They may have played a game since I last looked. While I'm talking, I'll look it up. It was 2-2 the last time I had looked it up. But, so that's been a close series there. But that's who they would – I'm sure they would prefer to play Syracuse only because it's only an hour to get there. You know, as far as if the series goes and it's nice and close. And, you know, those two teams, Laval and Syracuse, are very close – were very close in the standings, as was Rochester and Toronto and Belleville. They were all, you know, in that little place. So
game five tonight in Syracuse.
I got to it just as you did.
2-2. Laval is beautiful this time of year, but I think probably, yes, they'd like a shorter trip.
Yeah, right. And this is, Paul, just so we're clear, like, this is the first round. The thing they won was like a play-in round, right?
Yeah, that was the fourth place team against the fifth place team.
Okay, right.
So they had to do a playoff where Laval and Syracuse did not, okay. Nor did, obviously, Utica. So right. The winner gets the chance to play the first place team in Utica, and gotcha. It was a best of three. So Rochester was able to win both those games and take that series 2-0. And then got behind in this series 1-0, but... have taken 2 consecutive overtime games, and now they are up 2-1.
All right, Paul, they're coming for your stuff, so we'll let you go. Thank you.
Take care.
I can hear the commotion.
It's your old friend Sal from the Democrat and Chronicle. He wanted to get by me. And
you know?
I'm not as skinny as I used to be, so I had to kind of move my chair. And
I just don't want you to be distracted, so you protect your stuff and have a nice night.
All right, Paul.
Take care.
There's Paul Hamilton on our Wester Hotline live in Rochester. Amherst playing in the playoffs again tonight against Utica. Chance to advance to the next round. His appearance on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this.
Earlier, we were talking about ESPN's Football Power Index, which they revealed today. Bills on top. They're on top pretty much everywhere, you know, the odds and this. Anybody's power rankings, ours included. We did ours today. We talked about the Super Bowl odds a little bit. By the odds, they're at, what, we say 14-15% if they're 6-1. And here they're only 7%. It's in an article at ESPN if you want to read it. One thing that we didn't get to when talking about that is that they also have, you know, naturally, the chances of or the odds of each team to pick first in the draft next year. And if you didn't look, which two teams are tied? Actually, one narrowly edged out the other, but they both come in at 14% at ESPN to finish last in the league and draft first next year. There's one answer, I guess, but then there's a second team that was very close.
Chicago?
Right.
And Houston?
Jets.
Jets.
I think we're too high on the Jets.
Maybe.
Putting them 14th in the AFC. 14th. We're too high on the Jets, maybe.
I mean, that just strictly means Zach Wilson is terrible, and they're picking a quarterback next year if that happens. That's an easy one for them. I think if I'm the Jets, I want one of two things. I either want to be great or I want to be picking first.
Well, that's Chicago as well. I mean, they'll both. If this happens, if the top here, you go, well, go with me. Go with me. The order at this FPI is Chicago 1. If Chicago gets the first pick in the draft, they're doing the same thing. Like, right? There are quarterbacks next year.
Yeah. Yes.
Poor Justin Fields, but
man.
Well,
I'm
different.
Not arguing. It's just that seems insane.
It's different in that it seems like the Jets are doing everything they can to give Zach Wilson a chance to succeed, and it feels like
the Bears are ensuring
that Fields will not succeed.
Yeah, right,
right.
They want to make sure that everyone knows, like, we're moving on after this year. Like, they're
trade
setting
him.
It up that way.
Just trade him now.
Maybe they will.
The Bears.
That's a GM that needs a quarterback. Carolina.
Trade him to
call
Carolina.
Chicago right now. You think they have?
No.
It's a bad job, then.
I think they should. But why am I answering no? Because, I don't know, it's some judgment on Carolina that I'm making, apparently.
Houston's not last?
Chicago won. If Chicago finishes last in the league and drafts first, do they draft a quarterback? Probably. The Jets are two. Yeah. They're both quarterbacks from last year's draft. 2 years of chances. Poor Fields. He didn't even get the full first year.
And everybody got fired.
And that, right?
Man.
So maybe he can still have a career even if this happens.
Yeah.
But ESPN writes, worst QBR among qualifying quarterbacks in the whole NFL. So, Bears 1, Jets 2, Houston 3. Houston would definitely do it. Also.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they're bad again, I mean, they're going to be bad, but whatever. Like, if they're in the spot to do it, what was Davis Mills, a third-round pick? Nice story, but come on.
It's over.
A new guy, yeah.
Jacksonville 4th. Are they different? One overall.
I don't know that they really should be, but they probably are.
They had 3 first round picks this year too, including number 1.
I think that's right. What Bulldog said, they should be, but they won't be.
They'll give Lawrence the next season.
I think they throw out last year because of Urban Meyer. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And 5th is Atlanta, and they would.
They would run to the podium.
They probably would. They did draft a quarterback fairly early this year, Ritter. It's round 3. Not fairly early. It's round 3, you know.
Yeah,
it speaks for itself.
You don't have to do anything with him if you don't.
You don't. That's right. They're not playing it like he's their future.
Mm-hmm.
He plays this year, though, right? Unless Mariota starts and they win, then he doesn't. But if that doesn't seem likely, they would go to him at some point.
Right. They're 3-8 in week 11, and Arthur Smith decides, I want to get a look at him.
You know what's happening to me in these drafts? So I have another draft tonight at Best Ball at Best Ball Mania at Underdog, and I'm doing a lot of them. And you want to have a third quarterback in these, I think. So there's how many teams? 32 teams. And there's 12 in your fantasy league. Some teams will not have 3 known starters. Can't work out that way. So you might end up being stuck with 2. Then you have to decide whether you want to pick Mitchell Trubisky or Mariota or Drew Locke or one of these guys that who knows if they'll play at all, really. I just drafted Geno Smith the other day. I mean, what? He's under contract. Who's Drew Locke? Like, you have to, if you want a third one, he didn't get there earlier. So what happens to me in these drafts is you get to, like, Mac Jones or Wilson or Daniel Jones. I'd be a little bit higher on them in terms of fantasy. But you definitely don't want to pick them. You hate it because you don't like the player, and you could pick good receivers in that range or a good running back in that range. Like, Cordarrelle Patterson goes in that range, depending on the format. Guys that, you know, you'd expect to have value for your team, but you have this sense of dread that if I
that third quarterback,
right, and if I don't pick Mac Jones or somebody like that here, then I'm going to get stuck picking
a rookie who might not play,
one of those other guys,
yeah,
who might not. Does Trubisky play at all? Maybe not. Pickett is a safer bet, I think, than Trubisky. But they were a playoff team, and Trubisky's making money, and if they don't think Pickett is ready to start the season, then he won't play. And if they win, look out. So, Mac Jones, Mills is another one. I kind of like him, but it's still Houston.
What about Mayfield and Garoppolo for that?
Yeah, right. Both included in this. I feel like Mayfield is... I like that gamble, Mayfield, that he plays for somebody. But
something's going to happen. So either Carolina is going to get sick and tired of just looking at their depth chart, or somebody's going to get hurt, and Mayfield is going to swoop into the rescue.
Obviously, Darnold is included in that too. Like, he right now is going to be their starter, right? Or else it's Matt Corral, and that's the Atlanta situation. That could play, but it's just like you're doing this, you get to that point where you're like, oh, well, I'm going to have to make a choice. Do I want like a running back 4 here, which I really do want, or do I just decide I can't live like the other way, so I have to pick Mac Jones?
At, at that point, I almost feel like I would just want to handcuff my current starters. Like, that's how I get my third quarterback, is if one of my two gets injured, then I have the backups ready to go.
That's one way to do it, but that guy, necessarily, one of those two quarterbacks is a zero every week.
Sure.
You know? And if it's best ball, I'm getting a zero. I know I'm getting a zero every week from one of those two guys.
But you also know you're avoiding a zero in your starting spot. And while that, you're limiting your upside, your floor comes way up. Because if you draft Darnold and he doesn't play week one and he doesn't play the whole season, and then one of your first two guys gets injured, then you're stuck. And that's the one thing about the handcuff. You are limiting your upside.
That's right.
But you're ensuring you're not going to get stuck.
But in my opinion, and you have a good argument, but I think you need the upside to win because you're trying to beat 11 other people or 450,000 as the case may be, like in that one tournament I'm talking about. You have to play, and the odds of the injury happening to your guy are lower or worse than the other thing. So I always avoid that, but you could do it that way and maybe feel a little bit better.
Might depend on the backup too. Like maybe for me the only place I would consider that is a backup where it would be good for fantasy. Like if
Keenum.
Keenum. Sure.
You know?
Yeah, okay, Keenum.
Tyler Huntley
is like perfect for that. Right. Like whereas there might be some upside in handcuffing him because you might expect because of the rushing that if he's got to go in, that could be 20 to 30 points that nobody else is going to have because I'm the only one with Tyler Huntley.
As long as you get lucky, it sounds wrong, but you get lucky with the injury. You have to get lucky with the injury for that to work out at all. Ross Tucker today, what a treat to have Ross on. And he loved playing in Buffalo. You're about to hear him talk about that again. He always does when he's on with us. We talked about the AFC and some of his memories of being here. So hope you enjoy that. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, this is WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.